I can bring home the bacon fried up in a pan and never let you forget who I am, 'cause I'm a woman. W-O-M-A-N. I'll say it again. 'Cause I'm a woman. W-O-M-A-N. Welcome to Word of Mom Radio.
Monday, we have been listening to Fairy Tales, Now I Know, by the Sharon Leah Band. Sharon Leah was introduced to us by our good friend Kelly Lewis, and I'm so excited to be sharing her today. She is really just an incredible talent, and just in the short time we've been talking, I feel like we've become friends. The Sharon Leah Band began working with Grammy-nominated producer David Ivory in 2017. He's worked with Hailstorm, Silver Tide, and The Roots. Ivory says, "I love working with Sharon. Her vocals are stellar. Her songwriting is contagious." And he dubbed the band as awesome, eclectic, piano-driven, progressive pop. The Huffington Post praised her genuine lyrics and sonic innocence and vulnerabilities, pierces the hearts of her listeners, leaving a lifelong impact. Having their music considered for a Grammy, Sharon winning JMA's Best Female Artist, and the band performing at festivals, including Firefly, were the highlights of 2018. Wow, Sharon.
Hi, Tracy.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So happy to have you here. And wow, I mean, it's just so wonderful to hear from a woman who, you know, is not a teenager, who's out there pouring her heart out. I mean, we were just listening to Fairy Tales. What a powerful, just power anthem. And just to have you out there doing it and making your dreams come true.
Oh, well, thank you so much, and thank you for having me and for playing, you know, for playing our song. So excited!
Yeah, well, as I told you, this is like, you know, I'm an 80s child, so to me, this is really like it's my thing. That song really reminded me of some of the great, you know, when we first had those women out there just putting those, you know, those hard stuff out there. So that's really great.
It kind of reminds me of that song, "I Will Survive."
Yes.
You know, like if you think about the sad quality of the lyric, the content, it's sad.
Yes.
But it's also empowering and there's an up tempo. So that was my thinking of in that song. I really want to convey a message of empowerment through a, you know, a dark time, and believing in yourself.
Absolutely.
Finding your own happy ending, you know. But I didn't want it to be a sad tearjerker. I wanted people to feel like they could dance to it.
Absolutely. And that's what's great. You can dance to it. And, you know, yes, there's some sadness, but it's more of that you made me sad and now, you know, F you, I'm gonna get through it and I'm gonna be better for it and all that. And that's what I love about it too. And you play the piano yourself, you write the music, you sing. When did you get started on all that?
I started gosh, I started playing keyboards, pianos, organ, whatever you call it, in my house when my mom and dad, I have a musical family, and my mom and dad had, you know, like an organ and, you know, guitars and stuff. I never picked up a guitar, but the organ, I loved it. And I started playing, like, when I was around 6. And then
wow,
I was composing by 14. And then I would say by about 15, 16, I started, well, I did poetry and stuff like that, but I started writing lyrics and that kind of thing. So, yeah, pretty much I was born singing and writing, basically.
Cool.
Like,
cool.
All
and when did you know, and when did you know that you were going to perform?
Oh, my God. I remember when I was a kid, my parents brought me somewhere. I don't know. It was, I was in the audience. I was watching someone on stage. I mean, I must have been like 3 or 5 or something.
Wow.
And I felt like they reached out into the office audience and grabbed me and said, like, this is what you want to do. And it is. Mm-hmm. I felt so inspired by what I saw that that's what I kept saying to myself. And throughout my life, anytime I'd ever seen someone perform on stage and I felt the way they made me feel, that's mm-hmm. when I knew I wanted to be on stage and perform and inspire other people. It's just like a calling. It's like this
yeah,
whole thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And that's something that I'm always telling my students is that, you know, to me, I mean, I know that it is, but I've also been a singer all my life. And so I keep telling them, like, to me, a beautiful voice is great and it's a gift and a blessing and you should always be happy if you have one. But that really, in my own mind, that's not what's special. What's special is what you just said, when you can make an audience feel something, and mm-hmm. that to me is what you always strive for when you're on stage is to make sure that there's something emotional going on, that the audience, I said, you know, you can hit the most beautiful note and this or that, and the audience will be impressed, they'll like it, but you want to have that moment where they just go, wow.
Yeah, and that's how I try to write. I try to write pretty much all of my material to have this, almost like if you want to correlate it to Adele, but you know, this emotional powerfulness
yes.
to it, you know, like it can't just be like happy birthday to you. I can't write stuff like that. I just can't.
Right.
You know, so.
I mean, you could, but there'd be something going on at the birthday party. And
you know what? Actually, I did release a song, which I didn't mention to you, called 30 Dirty Secrets.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if I even mentioned it to you. It's a fun song about dating in the modern world and Snapchat and Twitter, you know, Snapchat and Timber and all this other stuff. And how, like, you could literally go from flower to flower because there's so many people on those platforms, and it's like, oh my God, I'm gonna make it stop. I just want to find, like, one person, you know. And 30 Dirty Secrets is about, like, the 30 dirty secrets on your phone. You know, Tom, Dick, Harry, Charlotte, whoever, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, I do have a fun song, and it was a lot of fun. And David Ivory did produce that for us as well. You should take a listen to it. It's really cute. It's really cute.
Yeah, no, definitely. We'll have to share that one on a different show, since that's not one of the ones we have today. But we were going to listen to Dance With Me next. Tell me a little bit about that.
I wrote that song a while ago, and I initially wrote it to be included in a screenplay that was written for Christopher Walken. Yeah, and it was about the Continental Man, which was, I guess it's a book that was out or a movie or something, I don't know, but a writer came to me with a screenplay. It was about a guy who was this really debonair dude and, you know, snazzy, but he was a great dancer. And basically this woman was trying to, you know, just get his attention, and he was kind of cool. You know, he's kind of like, you know, too cool, you know, and she wins him over. So, you know, that's the power of the female persuasion. But that's what that song's about. So I hope your listeners enjoy it.
Yeah, let's listen to a little bit of that.
You're unkind at times, and sometimes cool. But I fell for you in spite of it all. Now I have
Sharon. I really love how that's such a different feel from fairy tales. It's just so soft and like you were saying, you really get that sense of a woman just, you know, through this very soft kind of intimate way trying to catch that guy's interest.
Well, and then it breaks out into this like heavier rock section,
yeah.
I mean, as you guys just heard, and it's really about the build. And I like to do that in my music. Pretty much I've discovered that that's kind of how every song kind of works. It's sort of a soft beginning, and then it builds and builds and builds, you know.
Yeah. It's always like the music kind of wakes you up as it goes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I've loved about just the few songs that you shared with us so far and the ones that we're going to share with our audience today is that, you know, you definitely, I guess, you'd call it kind of pop rock is what you're doing, a little alternative maybe, but you don't easily fit into a genre that you really, you know, I guess what would you say about the music that you create and
Well, I would say, I mean, I started out writing, and I will continue to, but I write from my heart, and then whatever happens to the song is what the song becomes, because it's
right.
Its own destiny. So, you know, I love Evanescence. I also love Adele. I love the big voices. I like all that stuff. Coldplay and Florence and Machine, which are some of my inspirations, and Muse. The truth is that, you know, we all have, like, a beginning in our journey. So, like, some of this music, you know, that we're sharing with your guests today are a little bit about my journey. So now I've kind of found a path. And so now we're really, like, female-fronted, piano-driven, emotionally powerful alternative rock.
Right,
and that's a
right.
mouthful. It's a mouthful, but it's really a way to define us, you know, or progressive pop, because progressive, you know, relates to different modes and chord changes and deeper lyrics and all that stuff. But there's a pop quality to it because it kind of is appealing to people who like, you know, popular music. It's not weird timings and things like that. So I guess to answer the question about the genre, you know, what started out as me wanting to write a powerful dance song and then do an Evanescence, you know, love rock ballad, and then some of the songs you're going to hear, has now kind of, we've sort of found our lane, and David Ivory has helped us with that. He really
right.
helped me find my voice. Oh, my God. I was in the studio once, real quick story, and
yes.
he's like, give me more, and I broke out in this big, big voice, you know, and I went out of the live room back into the studio control room, and I'm like, thank you for that. I didn't even know I could do that.
Right.
Know? So, I mean, I don't know if that answers the question, but
it tells us more about you, Sharon, which is just what we're looking for. And I think with all that being said, we have one of your really great upbeat, dance songs, Dancing in the Rain, and I think we'll share a little bit of that and then let that lead us into saying thank you to our sponsors for the day. Do you have anything else that you want to just tell us to set up Dancing with the Rain before we put it on? Or Dancing
yes.
in the Rain, sorry.
Well, Dancing in the Rain was written around the time that the Sandy storms in the East Coast, the United
yes.
States, were happening. And it was when I first started working with Rick, Gennady, my guitarist, who's now my husband.
And that's a fairy tale right there.
It is, and we danced together for our wedding dance to Dance With Me. Just by the way, I meant to mention that. Anyway, Dancing in the Rain is truly inspired by wanting for people to know in scenarios of friendship, I'm there for you. So if you play that song for your best friend, you say, listen, whatever your best friend's name is, like, I know you've been going to heart, this is my song to you. I want you to know that even though it seems like it's dark, I want you to know that you have friends and people love you, and you should always continue the journey no matter how dark and tragic it seems like it might be. And that's what that song's
excellent.
About.
Great message. Okay, let's listen to a little bit of that.
Dori DiCarlo, founder of Safety Bags, Inc., a line of clear bags and backpacks there to assist with safety issues in schools, offices, airports, different workplaces, public venues, and sports arenas. Both professional and college sports have now adopted a clear bag policy. Anything larger than the palm of your hand has to be clear. With that in mind, we've launched stadiumbags.com for the dedicated sports fan and more. We've been featured on GMA's Deals and Steals, on AsSeenOnTV.pro with Kevin Harrington, the original shark from Shark Tank, Worldwide Business with Kathy Ireland, InStyle TV, and more. Our clear mini backpack, mini messenger bag, and tote bag in four colors meet the size requirements for both pro and college sports. You can visit us at stadiumbags.com, and you'll see why we're the clear choice, because safety, it's in the bag.
We all know a survivor. Some of our friends and family have made it through difficult times. Some of us don't make it. Losing a loved one to cancer, a car accident, or any other unfortunate event can be crippling and unavoidable. But one of the hardest subjects to talk about is suicide. Too often, our youth decide that leaving this place is easier than facing the struggle forced upon them every day. More than one in four children go through some form of bullying or another. Most of us survive with scars, but for some, the inner demons created cannot be recognized or treated in time to ensure they make it through. Bullying in every form is very much avoidable. It starts with me, and it starts with you. This is Kelly Carius from No Such Thing as a Bully, reminding you to do your part when you see bullying happen. If you don't know what that is, call 403-447-4404. Or go to nosuchthingasabully.com.
And we're back. This is Tracy Timmons and Sharon Leah on Music Monday on the Word of Bomb Radio Network. We heard a little bit of Dancing in the Rain, and thank you to Safety Bags, Stadium Bags, and No Such Thing as a Bully for sponsoring us today. And I just love, Sharon, how you have so many different things going on. I mean, I know a lot of this has already come out, but what drives you to just put all this incredible feeling and energy into your music?
It's visceral. Honestly, it's the only thing I can say. It is a motor inside that just won't quit. I mean, it has seen me, this motor inside has seen me through a few stalls and stops, but it's just ever present, you know. I don't know why I'm imbued with this, if you will, yeah. But it's what keeps me going. I can't really describe it, and I think a lot of musicians like myself, songwriters, singers like myself, I think often feel like it's visceral. Even though I went to college for music, I mean, I started writing when I was like, you know, very, very young, like 6, 7, 8 years old. And it's just, and everything I've done in my life has been to progress my career, to progress myself to a point where I can share what I have, and I want to share what I have so that it inspires other people. It's a calling. I mean, I'm confused. If that's the best way I can explain it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. And yeah. And there was a time when you were pretty timid about it. Right?
Yeah.
And then,
oh, yeah.
And how did that change for you?
So when I was in high school, I didn't have a piano at home. We had an organ, you know, and they're cool and all, but nothing sounds like a piano.
True.
If anyone out in your audience is listening, can I get a hell yeah? Piano, to me, piano is one of the most beautiful instruments. And they had a piano lab at the school I went to. And I wasn't out smoking with the girls or kissing the boys or anything like that. You know, whenever there was a break or a lunch hour or anything like that, you would find me in the music labs. And I swear it was the size of, like, an upright piano, a bench, and maybe two people, you know. And mm-hmm. It was made out of cinder block. And there was, like, I think there was, like, four piano labs. But you couldn't, you know, they're soundproof. And I would be in pretty much all the time. I was writing, playing, and my choral teacher came to me one day and said, you know, I hear you in there playing, and it's, you know, it's beautiful. What you're playing is beautiful, and I really want you to be in our talent show. And I quickly told her, you know, like, thanks, but like, no, thank you, you know. And she's like, you really should think about doing it. It's beautiful. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, like, no, that's okay, you know. So there's just no way. You know what I mean? There just was going to be no way. And a couple days later, she came to me and she showed me the playbill that the graphics team had designed and a spot where my name would be if I would only agree to perform. And I looked and I said, you know, no, thank you. I mean, I really am, like, you know, I was in high school, but I'm sure I wasn't that eloquent. I probably just said, no, thanks, you know. But,
yeah, you were a kid.
But I was like, she goes, can I tell you something? And she leaned into me and she put her arm around me and she really did whisper in my ear. And this is what she said to me. And I want you to think about this, she said. A creation is not a creation until you share it with someone.
Right.
And I was like, I mean, at that time, that was like, if a tree falls in the forest, does it make a sound? That I heard before. My dad used to say that all the time. But it really did resonate with me. And she was right. She was right. What was the point of me writing music and being so impassioned and having this be the only thing that drove me? Drugs didn't drive me. Alcohol didn't drive me. Dating boys, well, that did drive me, but not as much. Having friends, all that good stuff. But it's like, you know, and with that, I said yes. And then I'll never forget this. My high school auditorium is huge. It's a school in New Jersey. Big, beautiful auditorium, you know, velvet seats and all that, real bougie stuff. Big high stage, you know, the velvet curtains and all that. They rolled in a grand piano, stage left. I entered stage right. That's probably
that walk had to have been torture.
Thank you, Tracy. Thank you. I walked from, yes, it was the hardest walk. I'll never forget my outfit either. But anyway, that's a whole other story. But I walked from one side to the other. I sat down. My hands were shaking. But I played this piece of music, and it was, I wasn't yet really singing and playing at the same time. That I had to develop because, you know, it's a journey.
Yes.
But I got a standing ovation for my piece that I played.
Wow.
Like, and the girls that were sitting at lunch with me who usually didn't talk to me very much, they're like, I remember this girl at lunch. You know, it was just, I'll never forget that moment. It was fear, then acceptance of a challenge, then follow through. And then after the follow through, the reward of having someone validate that what I was doing was cool.
Yeah.
And after that, I kind of vowed to myself, all right, you got to pull yourself up. I was in the Miss New Jersey pageant, you know, because I wanted to learn how to fight for myself. And somewhere down the line, I lost my voice, but then I got it back again. So that's my story.
Wow.
I'm sticking with it.
Well, and Sharon, if that story is not an inspiration for everybody listening, whether your dream is singing and music or whether it's, you know, whatever it is that your business is, whatever it is that your passion is, if that's not an inspiration to say, you know, don't hide it, don't keep it to yourself, get it out there. And I also, we're actually, this is so great, Sharon, but I don't want to run out of time to tell your stories. I won't be telling my stories, but I also once had a standing ovation in my big high school auditorium, and it's one of the most amazing feelings in the world. I mean, to be 16 years old and
awesome.
To experience that.
Yeah. That is incredible. Well, we've talked a little bit briefly before this interview, and I already feel like you're my sister from another mister. So
absolutely, it's true. We clearly have been sisters in some life somewhere, or are going to be in some other life. But and certainly, as you're saying, you know, sisters in our own heads, you know, in this life. But for sure, I definitely want to make sure we have a little time to talk about Ladies Who Rock for a Cause.
Okay. Well, that's interesting that we would talk about sisters right before we're talking about Ladies Who Rock for a Cause, because in my journey, a lot of things have shaped me. People, you know, that get shaped by things, you know. One of the first things that really initially shaped me was losing my sister at 26.
Oh.
It was the worst thing that ever happened to my very happy family. We were all stunned, shocked, you know, and it was just like one of those things like, holy cow, like she was 26, beautiful, had the world at her hand, you know, fingertips, and one day she was hit by a car in Long Island, Long Beach Island in New Jersey, Labor Day weekend, and she was gone. And I had gone back to college, and I was trying to figure out the meaning of life, and I couldn't find it. And one day, I was in college. I had gone back for music and graphic design. It's a whole other story. But I was seeking to power through what was happening, you know, with having lost my sister. And it dawned on me one day, I read a quote by a mathematician who I had to do a thesis on that kind of changed my life. The quote is, "I think, therefore I am." It's a simple quote. People have heard it before. But what it meant to me was, I don't know what's happening. I had lost my faith. You know, I'd lost faith in myself, in my life, in God, in whatever. Like, I was a zombie. Nothing made any sense. And when I read those words, I realized that I'm here, and I have to seize the moment and make the best of it every single day that I can, because I'm here. I think. Therefore, I am. I am here. So I'm like, there are some people who can't do that. People who were born with, diseases and detriments and, you know, the things that, like, people like us, we can maybe power through, but they can't. They have a right to complain. Yes, they've been through something, but that's not for me to stay mired in that moment. And mm-hmm. I decided that I wanted to start a foundation for my sister with that whole thing in mind, to help people, with basically ordinary people with extraordinary needs. And then it took a couple more years, and then I went through some other battles and whatnot, and then I found out that I had cancer. And the first person that I met in that journey, I never met her personally, but I heard about her through my publicist. She needed help raising money for her own battle with cancer. While I was going through cancer myself, I started a fundraising event for this woman. And in the first year, we held an event and we raised almost $7,000.
Wow.
And we gave her and another small organization the proceeds. And from then, you know, I developed the branding. I'm a graphic artist, so I developed the branding and the mission and all of that stuff. And we've done an event. We've done events like 4 or 5 times. And I'm continuing to try to build that as well, because that, to me, the only real benefit of me doing music is, you know, making an income from it so I can take care of my own. But, you know, trying to help other people.
Right. And unfortunately, we live in a time where medical bills are one of the most the thing that kills so many people. It's just that we don't take care of people in an affordable way in this country, and there's so many people who need treatment that they don't get because they can't afford it, or they do get and then they have bills for the rest of their lives. And
if you go to ladieswhorockforacause.org. We have a website, and this woman, the first woman that we helped, we actually have a link to a video, because once we sent her the check, she said, "You're an angel," you know, like, and what you and everyone has done is, you guys are angels. And like, for me, knowing my motivation is to help someone else, and then to know that they felt like someone cared. It helps in the healing process. I think when you feel like you're not alone, which is what Dancing in the Rain was kind of about,
right?
You feel like you're not alone. That's what it's all about, you know?
Absolutely.
I have a new song coming out called The Sum of Us, and it's all about how each and every one of us contributes to the sum of us, you know? And that's right. That'll be for another show too, but that's a little bit about Ladies Who Rock for a Cause, though. So.
Well, and I do just want to say to any of our listeners who might want to check that out, Ladies Who Rock for a Cause, 4 is the number 4, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's LadiesWhoRock4, number 4, A cause, cause.org. Yeah. And since we're there, Sharon, why don't you give us any other information about your website for your music and your social media and how people can follow you and be in touch with you?
Well, we would absolutely love to hear from your viewers. They can go to our website, which is, SharonLeahBand.com, SharonLeahBand.com. They can visit our website, and we're also on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube. We have some really great videos. Everything's under Sharon Leah Band. So, and we have an email account, so SharonLeahBand@gmail.com. I would love to get an email and
awesome.
Hear from your viewers. Yeah.
And I'll mention now, even though we're gonna have one last story before we go into closing out with some of your new music. So far, we've been listening to music that's already been released, but we've got two of your newer songs. One that's recently been released, Anime, and then we're going to sneak peek for our listeners, Why Can't We Pretend, which is an upcoming song, and I'm so excited to share it because I'm really into it. And you're going to offer to our listeners to send that song to them for free if they sign up for your email list. Is that right?
Yes. If they go to SharonLeahBand.com and fill out the email, the little screen, and just give me your email and sign up for our email list, yes, I will send out a pre-released, not available to the rest of the public, a pre-release of Why Can't We Pretend. Yes, I'd be so happy to do that.
And which, when you hear that song at the end of the show, folks, you're going to absolutely want it. It's really great. I also have to tell you, Sharon, I'm gonna spell that one more time for our listeners, SharonLeahBand.com. I have a 10-year-old niece whose name is Leah, spelled L-I-A. So when I tell her that I interviewed a beautiful, gorgeous, talented musician who has her name spelled that way, she's going to be so happy. We just very recently had a conversation about how excited she is when she finds someone who spells it that way, because, of course, the L-E-A or L-E-A-H is so much more common. So
But we
love that spelling.
Tell her I said hello.
Definitely.
It's funny.
Definitely.
How old is she, 10?
10, yeah.
10 years old. I've had a couple of fans that are, 10 and 11. I actually performed at a girl's birthday party, a fan, because she heard my music, and she was, 10 years old, and it was, so thrilling. I was like, really? This is what you want? You don't want, I don't know, whatever else, but yeah.
Awesome.
So tell her we said hello.
Absolutely, absolutely. So just really quickly, we're going to talk about you have had a vision of winning a Grammy that hasn't come true yet, but you have walked the red carpet, and you have been awarded two times in 2 years in music. So tell us a little bit about those experiences and significance, and then we'll close with the two new songs.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Basically, as far as the Grammys go, a couple of years ago, I decided that one day I'm going to get a Grammy. I mean, I just put it out there to the universe. I'm like, this is going to happen. I bought myself a dress. Well, the dress sat in my closet for a couple of years. But one day, I became a voting member of the Grammys. And then later, a group of people got together, and they sent me and Rick Giannotti, my guitarist, to Hollywood for the Grammys. And, I went to all the events, the red carpet, the Grammys. I saw Adele singing right in front of me, and it was a great moment. I am still, and our music was considered, by the way, for a Grammy. Fairy Tales was considered for a Grammy. And
awesome.
So is the song that we're going to be listening to. That was on this year's ballot, Why Can't We Pretend? So is 30 Dirty Secrets, but we usually focus mostly on Anime. So I didn't wear the dress, by the way. I got a new one.
Yes. Sharon, I want to say thank you so much for being here today. It's been so great to share your story, and I hope that everyone feels the same strength and inspiration from hearing about what you're doing and from the music. And because once we start the two songs, I don't want anyone to have to hear any talking. I am just going to remind everyone to please be happy, be healthy, and most importantly, to be yourself.
I will let you know that our business spotlight tomorrow is going to be on Jamie Kirkbride of Parenting with a Personality. And I'm going to let Sharon tell us a little bit more about Anime and Why Can't We Pretend and what's happening next with Sharon Leah Band. And then I'll just let you enjoy the music.
Oh, that sounds like a good plan. I want to thank all your listeners for, you know, sticking with us and listening and all that good stuff. I really do hope to hear from everybody. Anime is a very, it's a very touching song about, in a nutshell, about the epidemic of suicide in our country. You can't really tell until you're listening to it, but Anime is actually a term that was coined I'm not going to think of his name right now. I'm on the spotlight, but it relates to the condition of anime.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically a hopeless situation where you don't feel empowered and, you know, all that good stuff. And the other song, Pretend, is also about a story in my own personal journey, but you have to really listen to the lyrics. It kind of means something different to everyone, but I did a crowd review because we like to do that just to sort of get an idea of where people are. It got really high marks. A lot of people felt that it started out like Hello by Adele and turned into My Immortal by Evanescence.
Wow. Well, those are two songs that I really like. So
yeah. So, you know, I would be interested to know if anyone can relate, you know, to either one of these songs. And mostly we're trying to really kind of raise awareness about suicide and mostly so that people know. I mean, I'm going back to Anime. If the song is able to reach someone and they realize that they're not alone, you know, even if it reached one person and they heard it and they were like, oh, my God, I'm not the only one who feels this way. You know, that's the ultimate goal of the song Anime. So I hope your listeners enjoy both, and I would love to hear from them.
Yes, so please, if you go to the website, sign up for her email list, get your pre-sale copy of Why Can't We Pretend, and it sounds like Sharon would love to get some feedback from you on the music as well and what it meant to you and how you feel about it. So make sure to do that if you have a chance to write in. Sharon, thank you so much again for being here, and you're going to have to come back because we've had a couple of other songs that we didn't get a chance to play today, and you've named some songs that we want to hear. And, of course, once you win your Grammy, we're going to need to hear that story. And as you have new music coming out, we want to hear from you again.
Thank you. And thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. And here is Anime followed by Why Can't We Pretend.
I faded into nightfall, deep like winter, where my shallow breathing almost did me in. And when I woke, my body changed forever. Had I known what I have ever let them in? Why can't we pretend? It's not me, it's them. Why did we believe that this would be okay? I had no choice, no time for indecision. Something had to happen first and I gave in. This painful Armageddon left me hollow, and I know I'll never be the same again. Why can't we pretend? It's not me, it's them. Why did we believe that this would be I can see I'm forever changed.